welcome back. Hope you have a good day today. I'm Jeff Rentz. Welcome. We have 3 hours of very interesting radio ahead for you. Allegations of misconduct and lying lodged against public figures are not particularly unusual. However, when that public figure happens to be one of the leading presidential candidates and a person of world renown, such allegations are particularly important to listen to and to investigate. In this case, allegations of cocaine use and gay sex have been lodged against Senator Barack Obama by a man named Larry Sinclair, and first came to our attention via a YouTube posting by Mr. Sinclair in which he stated his case and called for Mr. Obama to come forward with the truth. Here now, in case you haven't heard it or seen it, is that short YouTube video made by Larry Sinclair.
Hi, my name is Larry Sinclair. I'm making this video and posting it on YouTube because of an incident involving myself and Senator Barack Obama between November 3rd and November 8th of 1999 in the Chicago, Illinois area. The mainstream media and Obama himself has done greatly to prevent this story from becoming public. During those time periods in 1999, I met Obama at an upscale lounge in Chicago, Illinois. After having a few drinks, Obama and I left in my limo, began to drink. Mr. Obama acquired powdered cocaine for my use, crack cocaine for his use. I performed oral sex on Senator Obama, who at the time was a state representative for the state of Illinois. Mr. Obama knows these allegations to be true. I'm challenging Mr. Obama to come forth, be honest, stop claiming that his drug use is limited to his teenage years. 1999, you weren't a teenager. 1999, you were a state representative for the people of the state of Illinois. 1999, I performed oral sex on you in the back of my limo, as well as in my hotel room in Gurnee, Illinois, 2 days later. If you challenge the authenticity of this allegation, I challenge you to take a polygraph test, as I will submit to as well. These allegations are true and need to be told to the public. Let the public decide whether Mr. Obama is being forthright and honest. Thank you.
That again, the YouTube posting by Mr. Larry Sinclair about his allegations regarding Barack Obama. Larry Sinclair is a guest. He's agreed to come forward for the first time on any radio or television program and tell his story in more detail tonight. Welcome to the program, Larry.
Thanks, Jeff.
Why did you decide to come forward at this particular time with your allegations via YouTube, and what have you been doing up to this time to try to make them public in the past?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. First of all, I need to clarify something. Everybody's saying that this is something that's come up just recently in an attempt to destroy Obama's chances in South Carolina and or Super Tuesday. I first decided to approach Obama's camp back in September, actually, after watching some news reports and some statements that Obama had made and some references that had come out regarding his past drug use. And he had claimed that people were making things up, that his drug use was limited to his early years, mm-hmm. that in his professional career and public career, he had never used drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I had sent the Obama camp several emails through their campaign website addressing the issue, simply putting forth to Mr. Obama to come out and say, hey, you know what? I made a mistake. I misspoke. You know, the timing's a little off. And then go from there. I was ignored. I've contacted every major media outlet via their websites. I've even sent the YouTube video at the end of the run.
Mm-hmm.
But I had sent emails to all of the major newspapers on the East and West Coast. I had sent the same emails to CNN, Fox News. Nobody wanted to touch it. Nobody even wanted to respond to it. I was working with a reporter who I cannot identify, who had been doing research on the case,
mm-hmm.
you know, to verify some facts. and then their editor got cold feet at the last minute and decided to hold off. They wanted to see who was going to do it first. It's like nobody wants to be the first one out the gate. Everybody seems, you know, to have this aversion to being the first one to attack the Obama campaign.
All right.
I have no political connections with any campaign whatsoever. I brought it out on YouTube as a last resort. It's my first time on YouTube. People have taken this video and twisted it. I've never claimed to be a limo driver. When I referred to my limo, I was referring to a limousine service that I had hired out of the Chicago area, which is five-star limousine service.
Okay. So you hired the limo as a private citizen?
I did hire the limo as a private citizen.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Chicago area as a private citizen for the graduation of my godson from the Great Lakes Naval Training Center.
Okay, let me ask you a question before we go further.
Okay.
What is it about Senator Obama's statements regarding drug use that you found so reprehensible that forced you to do this? Why couldn't you just say, all right, they're all liars, Americans know most of them lie, what's the big deal? Why should I bring grief upon myself and stress and just to hell with it?
Well, and that's a good question. The point I've been trying to make the whole time is this. Obama is a great speaker. I don't have any doubts in my mind that he might be a great communicator. He might be able to get things done, which I doubt very seriously. Nobody has been for quite some time. The fact that he's got, I'm looking at these news reports and all of these young kids, you know, who are saying, oh, well, I don't care what he did when he was 16, 17, 18, 19. You know, everybody's pushing it off. Well, he admitted to using drugs in his book, which, of course, I've never read and I've never even referred to.
Okay.
But there's all these kids are on the news at these Obama rallies. I mean, you should see the comments, the hatred, the threats, the vile, the vulgarness that I have been subjected to by these same individuals that are supporting Obama simply for confronting him to be honest about the drug use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've used drugs in the past. You know, I'm not a squeaky clean person by any, you know, any right. But I'm not running for the highest office in this country.
So you feel this is, Larry, excuse me, you feel this is a moral issue then? That these people running for president really should be held accountable to a higher level of moral behavior?
If we're not held to that highest level of honesty, then we're stuck in the same situation we're stuck in now with George Bush. You can't have people running for president of the United States accusing the current administration of being nothing but, you know, a festering pool of liars.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're doing the same thing in an attempt to get in that office.
I see.
If you're willing to lie to get into the office, what are you willing to do once you are there?
That's an interesting point, because somewhat tangentially to your comments so far, it has been noted by more than a few people that the people who are backing and advising and running the Obama campaign essentially are very powerful people, the Brzezinski clan, as it were, who have a very serious and potentially catastrophic world agenda. And I think perhaps there are many who might share your concern about this man's integrity should these cases and allegations that you're bringing forward prove to be true. So,
understood. See, Jeff, that's why I came on your show tonight. I am being bombarded. You know, people are looking at this video. First of all, I am going to be honest on your show. I somewhat disguised my appearance on this video, and I did so for personal safety purposes.
No, that's
okay?
Understandable.
You know, I have been called every name in the book, from homeless to toothless to hillbilly to uneducated. I mean, these are people who know nothing whatsoever about me who are making these attacks. I have been threatened. I have received email messages through my YouTube email box from people that have acknowledged to being employed or volunteers of the Barack Obama campaign, who have told me that the Secret Service is looking for me, that once I'm found, I'm going to be beaten, if not shot. I have forwarded copies of these emails to the major news organizations in this country. No one seems to take this thing seriously. Everyone wants me to put out everything on YouTube so that they can distort it. I've had replies to comments that I've made to people asking questions, cut and pasted and spammed all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are spamming and editing this video and twisting it. The Obama bloggers have started using it and editing it and writing their own stories to it to try to make it look like it's a political attack from an opponent.
Probably not a terribly big surprise to you, Larry, I wouldn't think, given the current political climate and status of our society. Stand by, if you would, just for a minute. We'll be right back. And needless to say, the Obama campaign is more than welcome to come on this program and reply in kind to these allegations. We, I think, like all good Americans, would like to get to the bottom of this and find out the truth, which is exactly what Mr. Sinclair says he's after as well. We shall continue in just a couple of minutes. Glad you're along tonight. Welcome back. You can see the YouTube video. Just go to the top of Rents.com. Look in the featured story section. You'll find it right there at the top. Take a look for yourself. And let's go back now to the actual evening, the first evening. You're in the limo. You were at an upscale club of some sort. Tell us how you actually met the senator. Well, this is back in 1999. And what happened?
This is the funny part. Everyone goes, well, you knew he was involved in politics. I'll be honest with you, I had no idea he was involved in politics.
Really?
I was introduced to Senator Obama by my limo driver, who I had had on an earlier occasion.
This was in the club?
No, actually, I was introduced to Mr. Obama when I got out of the limo by the driver.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they were friends. Like I told you earlier, I wanted to clarify something real quick in regards to a lot of people are saying, well, this is a sex act. I was not introduced to Senator Obama in any effort or attempt at a sexual encounter of any kind. It
mm-hmm.
was actually to meet someone that I might be able to, you know, to sit down and actually enjoy a conversation with.
What was that? Was Obama just on the street, happened to be walking by the limo? What was the deal?
No, actually, the limo driver, from what I understand, had called him and told him to meet us there.
Oh, really?
Because, like I said, when we got there and the driver opened the door, that's when the driver had introduced Obama to me.
Hmm.
And
Senator Obama alone at the time?
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, we went in, we had drinks. You know, it was a casual conversation. I had, you know, told him why I was in the Chicago area, what I was doing there. There were some conversations regarding what I did for a living, which were not so legal at the time. You know, I have to be honest about myself as well as about anything else. You know, and
can you give the name of the club that you went into?
I really can't, and I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I can't because I'm almost 90% sure I remember the name, but I can't be 100% sure, and I'm waiting on some credit card statements from Citigroup on my credit card that was used in the club, so that when I do give the club's name, I give the correct name.
So you're seeking records going back to 1999.
And Citigroup has confirmed that they can get them for us. It's
all
just
right.
Going to take them a little bit of time.
All right. Well, there's a lot of pressure. I wouldn't hold my breath,
sure.
But I understand. All right. So you're introduced to him. You go into the club. You sit down. You start chit-chatting with him. What's the common ground here? I don't quite understand that. Why would he want to speak to you, and why would you want to speak to him? I think I can understand that more easily. But there must have been some reason the driver wanted to put you two together.
Well, I had told the driver the incident before when I had hired the company to take me out with my godson that I was going to spend another night out, that I wanted, you know, to meet people around Chicago. I wanted to know something about Chicago. I've lived all over this country, from New York to California, Miami, Texas, as well as Mexico.
Okay.
Funny thing is I'd never even been in the Chicago area until I went for my godson's graduation.
All right, so they hooked you up with a driver who was well-connected. He knew some people.
The way I understand it from the introduction and from my conversation with the driver was that he was introducing me to a friend of his.
Mm-hmm.
He was not introducing me to someone of power. He was introducing me to a personal friend of his.
Hmm. All
you
right.
know, the conversations were very light and casual.
Did he tell you about his, excuse me, did he tell you about his background at the time? Did he tell you, by the way, I'm such and such?
He never identified himself as a state senator or representative in any way. He did acknowledge that he was in the legal field and worked in public service,
uh-huh.
which is fine for me because, you know, when I'm out and about, I have friends in Texas that I've taken out in limos regularly. I spent the summer of 2000 for a month and a half with First Class Limousine Service out in Myrtle Beach meeting people, and I'll tell you, I just like to get to meet people and talk casually. I really don't want to get personal and know a lot, you know, about them and get involved in anything that can come back.
All
and
right.
people are saying the same thing. They're going, well, why did you wait so long? Well, to be honest with you, I moved to Mexico a couple of years later. I've only been back in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
since February of 2006.
All right. Without going into specific detail right now about your background, it seems rather clear that you were not hurting for cash flow, at least at some points in your recent adulthood.
Not in any way.
Okay, all right. Well, money does things. So you're in the club. You have a few drinks. We got a break coming up here in just a minute
okay.
or two, so we'll do that. We'll pick the story up. But you're talking, chit-chatting. And how are you struck by Barack Obama? Obviously, you got along well with him. Was there anything particular about him that you remember that was interesting to you?
Yeah, the part about it to me is all my life my gut's been a judge of character to me. And I felt so comfortable talking around him, so comfortable enough that I actually revealed some things about myself that could put me away for quite a bit of time.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's just like the flow of conversation and the comfortable, you know, the comfort level there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've told people when they say, well, how did the drug issue come up? I mean, I had to have felt that comfortable because I'm the one that brought the drug issue up, not him.
All right. We'll stop right there and pick it up in just a couple minutes. And Mr. Larry Sinclair, a remarkable story of allegations of gay sex and cocaine abuse being lodged against presidential candidate Democrat Senator Barack Obama. And we shall continue in just a few minutes. Okay, and we're back talking to Mr. Larry Sinclair. All right, Larry, let's go back to the club. How did the issue of drugs come up and so forth? And just go ahead and tell the story.
Okay. Senator Obama and I have been talking, you know, just chit-chatting, you know, basically about pretty much nothing. I made it very clear that at the time, you know, I enjoyed enjoying myself. I didn't have a problem spending money.
Mm-hmm.
I had made the comment to him after I felt comfortable with him that I could use a couple of lines to wake up. I had been extremely tired. I had only flown in after being on the road for 4 days prior to flying into Chicago. And he had made the comment to me if I was referring to Coke, and I told him I was. And when I told him that's what I was referring to, Senator Obama had stated to me that he could get it for me. At that time, he made a phone call. After he made the phone call, we left. We got in a limo. Senator Obama was the one that instructed the driver where we were going. I'm going to say maybe at the most approximately 30 minutes of driving, we stop. Mr. Obama tells me he'll be right back. He gets out. In less than 5 minutes, he's back in the car.
What kind of a neighborhood was it?
I'll be honest with you, I didn't pay that much attention to it.
Okay.
It was dark. The windows were tinted. I really didn't pay that much attention to it.
Did you talk to the driver while Obama was out of the car at all? Do you remember?
I was speaking to the driver. The privacy window was down at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, that's when I was made very clear at the time that the driver was, in fact, a personal friend, because the driver knew from the previous engagement that I had with him that I wanted to get something to wake up from.
All right, very good. Go ahead.
Okay.
So he comes back to the car.
He comes back to the car, and this is something that people are challenging on the Internet at this time. They're referring to me being racist, saying the white guy wants powdered Coke, the black guy wants crack Coke. In all honesty, I had no idea that he purchased anything for anyone but me.
Okay. Right.
He gets back in the car. He hands me the packet. I have a CD case from a CD that I had put in the limo with me. I take the CD case. I pour some out on the CD case and make three lines on it.
Mm-hmm.
I kneel down into the floorboard of the limo and rest the CD case on Senator Obama's left leg. And with the rolled-up dollar bill, I do a line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, I make the approach on Senator Obama as far as the sexual gesture by rubbing up his leg into his crotch area.
How long, Larry, had you been of the homosexual lifestyle at that point?
I have been gay all of my life. I had a violent temper when I was a very young kid. I guess today they call it ADDT or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor, when I was 7 years old, told my parents that I was gay. I was very bright as a kid. I knew I was gay. I was never in the closet. And that brought a lot of heat. You know, you have to fight off, people in the South and in those days, you know. But, I mean, I've never been married. I've never had kids. I have always been openly gay from a very young age of childhood.
Well, some of the bigots in the South probably came after you as well as they might hassle some African-Americans. Same kind of hate.
Oh, trust me. I still have friends that I grew up with and the families that live back there that will tell you I probably had to fight off the Klan more than they did.
Hmm.
Because it's one thing to be white and have African-American friends. It's another thing to be a faggot and white and have African-American friends in the South.
All right. All right. So we're back in the car. You rub, allegedly, Obama's leg. You've done the line. What happens?
Senator Obama starts to become excited. he starts running his fingers through my hair. I'm doing another line. And while I'm doing another line, his pants are unzipped by him, not by me.
All right, we don't need the actual details about this, but go ahead and tell the general story.
It progresses from there. In the course of performing a sex act, Senator Obama actually asked for my lighter. So when I get up to give him my lighter, it's at that time that I see the other packet of crack cocaine and the glass cylinder that he's putting it in. I had no idea that he had it. I didn't even know that he used it. He did ask me if I wanted to smoke any, and I had told him no, that I did not smoke anything other than cigarettes at that point. I had years earlier and developed a severe case of pneumonia, and I had not since then. So, you know, things went on while he's smoking. I'm performing the sex act. When all is said and done, You know, it's a relatively good evening. You know,
how did the evening end? How long you were parked in the limo?
No, we weren't parked. We were driving around the entire time.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, obviously the driver, if this is all as presented, was a man of considerable discretion and knew how to drive and where to drive, I guess.
Oh no, we were driving the whole time because when the sex act ended, you know, clothes were back on. Mm. I mean, I had a drink in my hand. He had a drink in his hand. I even stood up through the moonroof of the limo and lost a baseball cap that had been given to me by a friend that if I had lost it would have killed me. So I had the driver actually pull over, and I got out of the limo and ran down the freeway to pick up the hat. So, I mean, the night ended pretty much, you know, like any normal night would. Like I said, we had a few more drinks. We both decided to call it an evening.
You had the drinks in, you had the drinks where?
In the limo. We had, there was a
full bar in
the limo.
All right, okay.
Well, not a full bar. I carry Absolute everywhere I go. You know, anytime I'm in a limo, I have to have Absolute or Grey Goose.
All right.
There was a bottle of Crown Royal and a bottle of Chivas Regal as well.
All right. So how long was the evening in its totality? How many hours would you say you spent with the senator?
Well, we sat talking at the bar for maybe an hour, hour and a half. The limo, I would say another 2 hours, maybe 3.5, 4 hours.
Okay. And how did the evening end? Who went where and how?
At the end of the evening, we decided to call it an evening. At that time, the driver told me that it would be easier for him to go ahead and drop me off at the hotel and that he could take Barack back to his car.
All right.
So I said, fine. I had no problem with it. They were friends. They knew each other.
All right. And let me go back to the crack cocaine issue. We have a break here also, but very briefly, how many times did you see the senator engage in using crack cocaine in the limousine?
Three.
Okay. All right, stand by. We'll come right back in just a couple minutes. Okay, and we're back speaking with Larry Sinclair, who has made allegations of gay sex and drug use. So you saw the senator use crack three times in the limo that night.
Yes, sir. Jeff, can I say something real quick?
Sure, Larry.
Listen, I need to respond to something because the gay sex and a lot of other people have sent nasty messages. I never had any intentions of coming forward with any sexual allegations against Barack Obama.
Okay.
But in order for them to understand how I knew and how I saw him doing the crack, it had to come out. I couldn't just come out and say, oh, why, by the way, we're here and I saw him smoke. So I just want to make that understood because there's a lot of people out there who are saying, why would you put this man's family through that? Because it happened. You know, and it's the only way he's going to even come out and just acknowledge the fact that he was using the drugs.
Did he act like he knew what he was doing when he was using it?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind he knew what he was doing.
I don't mean he was doing something he didn't know about, but did it appear to you that he had been, shall we say, commonly involved with this kind of practice, if that's the
right
word?
You know, I can't. You know, I'm not going to put myself in the position to say, yes, I would say that he was a daily user because I won't do that. I will say that he definitely knew how to put a crack rock in a glass cylinder.
All right. Very good. All right. You had another encounter with him shortly thereafter, a couple of days, I guess.
It was the next day or the day after he had showed up at my hotel room, and we're going to have to actually get through this really fast because my battery on the phone is going dead.
Go ahead.
It actually kind of shocked me because I hear a knock on my hotel room door, and I go to open it, and to my surprise is standing Mr. Barack Obama. I invited him in.
Can you name the name of the hotel, please?
Yes, it was the Comfort Inn and Suites in Gurnee, Illinois, which is just outside of Chicago and Great Lakes.
You remember the room number?
No, I don't.
Long time ago. I understand.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, and I've actually tried to get the folio from the hotel, mm-hmm. and they delete their records, I guess they say, every 2 years or so.
All right, if you went there, could you find the room again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
But Choice Hotels International do still have the folio records from the stay because of my membership in their frequent guest program, and they have provided them.
All right, very good. So he knocks on your door. What time of day was this?
It was in the early evening. I can't give you an exact hour.
Had he called you first, or was this a surprise?
No, this was a total surprise to me.
All right.
He showed up. He brought another packet, which I still had some from the first packet that he had bought for me.
Of regular Coke, not crack.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I had put down a line, and he had pulled out another packet with the crack, and he had pulled out the glass cylinder again.
Mm-hmm.
And he started smoking. I had done two lines. And he, at that time, this sexual act was actually initiated by him, not by me. I guess it was what most people would call a quickie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was less than 2 hours, hour and a half at the most from the time he showed up to the time he left.
All right. When he left, what did he say?
He just said he had a good time and that he hoped I would see him again whenever I came back to Chicago, and I told him I would like that.
All right. At no time during your two visits, alleged visits with him, did he discuss politics or issues of public substance?
Not at all. And that's what I can't seem to get people to understand, because they're saying, why did you sit on this so long? You knew he was involved in state politics. I didn't live in Illinois. I had no idea he was involved in state politics. When I did become aware of the fact that he was involved in state politics, it wasn't that much of an issue with me. I've seen politicians from the local level to the to the U.S. government level that have been involved in some freaky things.
I'm sure. All we have to do is read the mainstream media, and we'll see these things quite often, too often, in fact. When did you become aware of the fact that he was a famous public servant?
Actually, when I saw the speech from the 2004, or what was it, the 2004 Democratic Convention.
And that was it. That hit you. What was your reaction?
Well, I said, well, there goes another one. I mean, my God, you're talking about someone that still remembers the Jenneret story, the Gary Hart. I mean, there's been many. It's not something that is so unique that it would stop you and make you think. I mean, it did to me going, well, hey, at least I got one notch on my belt, so to speak. But I didn't look at it that way. I didn't care. But I do care. And like I said, the sex thing is not the issue with me. The issue is I'm watching this man campaign for the highest office in this country. And when someone brings up his drug past, they're being accused of being racist or being unfair.
That's,
and the only thing I've ever asked him to do was simply be honest about mm-hmm. it. Don't come out and be half honest about it. Don't tell half the story. Don't make it look like you were a confused teenager, and then when you graduated college, all of a sudden you had a reawakening.
Do you think a man can be gay and still serve the country in a capacity that would not present a national security risk?
Do I personally think
yes.
that? Yes. Do I think, or have I ever implied that Obama was gay? No. Bisexual? Yes. Gay? That's a question I would not attempt to answer, because there is a distinct difference between the two.
I don't want to get into this, but one wonders where you draw the line. Does one homosexual act make someone a homosexual or a bisexual? I guess it does. It make them a bisexual, but when do they become gay? That's a very interesting question, which we'll leave perhaps for another time. The issues involved here obviously will entail your past. You are fully aware that your past is going to leave you wide open for any number of character assassination attacks and attempts. How committed are you, Larry? I mean, you're on the program tonight. I can answer that fairly well, but I have to ask the question anyway. How far are you prepared to go with this? Congressional testimony?
I'm prepared to go as far as it takes for him to just simply come out and tell the truth. I mean, I've already put everybody I have spoken to has already, you know, they got my past out of my mouth before they ever pulled it up from a background check, okay?
Mm.
So I have nothing to hide. I know what I've done in my lifetime. Anything that I've done that I am guilty of, I've always said so. I've never hidden behind any excuses for any of my actions.
You're not saying you're an angel by any means either.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm a human being that did some stupid things when I was younger, just like most people did. Maybe I did them just a little longer. But the simple fact of the matter is I have put my entire background on the line on this. So, I mean, there is no turning back. Because if I do, then it's just going to let these people feed off and say, oh, well, you know, this person's an idiot. He's out for attention. I don't need this kind of attention.
Should Barack Obama drop out of the race at this point?
Not at all. I think what Mr. Obama needs to do is simply come out and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I misspoke when I said I hadn't used drugs or I hadn't done this since a certain period in my life. You know, I think what he has to do is be completely honest. And unless he does that, then I think it's always going to be standing over his head, regardless of winning or losing.
Are you concerned about the impact that this will have on his family?
I'm extremely concerned. In fact, one comment was made the other day on YouTube referring to his wife, and I had made the reply that I have gone out of my way to keep this from ever coming out to this point, and that I would speak with her privately, but I would not address any issues that anybody, you know, put forth on her behalf in public. I just won't do that.
I think we've already answered this question, but you're seemingly not interested in selling your story for money. You're offering it free here. Is that an accurate assessment?
I have not been paid, nor have I asked anyone to pay for anything other than I was asked if I would provide a photograph of what I looked like at that time on that trip in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would provide a photograph or allow a photograph to be taken of my appearance now, and I told them that I would, but the photographs would have to be paid for.
At this moment, at this point in time, are you in fear for your personal safety?
In the sense that am I scared someone's going to show up at my door and try to cut my throat? No. Do I fear the possibility of going shopping tomorrow or the next day and somebody maybe, you know, being astute enough to recognize me from YouTube and just go to a public attack mode? Oh, yes. I mean, you know, the Obama supporters, and not just the Obama supporters, general people who just don't like, you know, me coming forth with the allegations have made some very serious threats and comments.
All right. And the last question, again, this is not an issue that has anything to do with race, in your view.
Not at all. In fact, someone keeps putting that up, and I keep telling them, to call me a racist is like going in and calling Martin Luther King one. I grew up in the South. I know maybe one Caucasian person for every 10 people of color, meaning black, Mexican, even my own family will tell you that I've always been accused of being on the other side. So this is not a race issue at all.
I see. Any final comment, Larry? We have just about 30 seconds left.
The only thing I'm asking is that people stop attacking before they know what they're talking about. The only thing I'm asking Senator Obama to do is simply come out and tell the truth about the drug use. That's the whole issue here. If you can't be honest now, don't expect him to be honest if he makes it to the White House.
Larry Sinclair, thank you very much for choosing to present your allegations here. We trust that we've heard it, and we'll listen, and we'll keep watching. Thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, it was quite a story. We'll see what the mainstream media does with it by way of research and investigation and follow-up. There is data to be mined, and time will tell. We'll be back.